Want to be happy on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's excited. Fall time's coming around. We got a bunch of activities coming up, and excited for this time of year. And I'm was looking forward to church this morning. I got Sunday school. We had a good Sunday school class, and already had someone ask a question this morning that's right with a message. So it's always good when that happens. And appreciate the Lord laying that on her heart. Before we get started this morning, do we have any prayer requests? I know we've had several downstairs or in our Sunday school class, but anybody have a prayer request?
Can I share a praise? My mom's PET scan was clear.
Great.
She still has issues with her back and stuff. We're going to another doctor about that, but the PET scan was clear, and that's an answer
to me. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Any others? Okay. Is that the young man with the scoliosis? Remember him, be having surgery. When's the surgery?
Spring break, or fall break.
Fall break. So remember that family. It's the young man Landon goes to school with, has to have some scoliosis surgery, and I think may not be able to play sports like he wants to anymore, so it's going to be hard on him, but just pray that the Lord will touch him and ease that desire. Any others? As you begin praying for some of the events we have coming up, that some outreach stuff we got going on here at the church, that be praying for it in advance, as we'll be going to the having our fall festival at the Heflin City Park again. And those of y'all that wasn't here or wasn't involved with it last year, is was great. We go over there and have trunk or treat and have hot dogs, and I think Pat said we might have had a snow cone or two last year, and popcorn, and had a great turnout. I'm not sure how many people come through, but it was a lot. So we're looking forward to that again. And if you'd be willing to help with that, just get with some of us. We'd love to love for somebody to help us with it, or some more to help us with it, because it's a pretty big thing. And begin praying for Christmas play. It sounds unbelievable to be talking about that. Seems like we just got done 4th of July, but Stephanie has ordered us a Christmas play, and we've read through it, and it's going to be fun. It's got a great message to it. So begin praying for that, and pray that the Lord's will is done. He used it to touch a life. You have, usually with your Christmas plays, you have people here that don't attend church any other times, a lot of the time, and the Lord can use that to something simple as a play. If the word is taught in it, he can touch lives through it. So ask you to remember that. Do we have any others this morning? None. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. God, I ask you to show up with us this morning. Lord, I ask you to come in among us. Lord, I ask you to touch hearts and touch lives. And Father, these prayer requests have been made known. Lord, these praise reports, we thank you for them. And God, these prayer requests, we ask that you, dear Father, just touch in each life. Lord, we ask you to be with our church as we begin going forward in the new church year. Becomes effective in October. God, we ask you use this church more than you ever have. And God, I ask you to bring us all closer to you, and that, God, we truly are a church that is focused on you. And God, we ask you to be with our singers this morning. Lord, let them sing praises unto you for no other reason than for your honor and your glory. And God, as it comes a preaching hour, I pray that you touch my lips with the message that you've laid on our heart. And God, I pray that it touches through your word, that it touches a life. And Father, someone here that may not know you this morning, I pray they will before they leave. Lord, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and sing with us this morning.
Oh, I need you every my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense,
yeah.
power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be saved. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Singing this morning. Appreciate the singers putting forth the effort to do that, and it's we tend to just take for granted what God has blessed us with, and I thank Him this morning for those ability to sing. And if you got your Bibles, I'll let you be turned on over to Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 25, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. As you turn in there, the title of the message today that God has laid on my heart is The Awesome Ability of God. And I began thinking about this thought throughout the week and about the ability of God. And It's unreachable. You can't even begin to put your finger on the ability of God or understand the great ability of God. And I began thinking about how the scriptures tell us in Genesis of how he simply spoke and the world become into existence, how he spoke and the stars formed, he spoke and all the planets come to be, and how great the universe is. What little bit we can know about the universe, it's much expanded. We can't even grasp how big this thing is. So we can't even understand in our little minds how great the ability of God is. But he's gave us some examples of how great he is in Scripture. The Bible is a testament of his greatness from Genesis to Revelations, and you'll see that God is able to do anything. The only thing you'll find in Scripture that God is not able to do is lie. He cannot lie. He is complete truth. There is absolutely no darkness at all in God. So he obtained some absolutely awesome ability. And I begin thinking about what his ability means to us. Obviously, we enjoy the sunshine as we go out, and I thank God he made the sunshine, and he made the days and the nights, and we enjoy a good night's rest, and we enjoy our families, and I enjoy our church family and our church. So I thank God for his ability to do all that. But you see, one day after a while, every single one of us is going to go the way of the grave. He's going to return to get us. And at that point, we need more ability from him than we ever will. You see, I had absolutely nothing to do with being born into this life. I had nothing to do with him placing me with the family he placed me in. I had nothing to do with him making me this short, Dalton. I had nothing to do with that. That's all God's decision. He chose how he would make me. And the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe every person is exactly the way God would have them to be. And God, he contains some great abilities. I hope this morning that you see truly how great he is. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, if you would stand for just 1 minute, very short verse. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them." God, we thank you for this verse this morning. Lord, we thank you for your words you've given us. That God, we don't have to wonder what your thoughts and your abilities are. God, you show us in your word. Lord, I ask you this morning to open this word up to the congregation. God, I pray you to touch hearts. I pray that you'll open those hearts to you that have never opened to you before, the ones that don't know you, God. I pray they'll call upon you. Maybe there's someone here today that have doubts of their salvation or different things. God, I pray that they'll see through these scriptures that you're able to save to the uttermost, and that when you do something, you do it completely. That, God, you do nothing halfway. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, and I've got three points here about he is able. Where it says in Scripture, he is able. And I want you to think about this morning, the situation we was in. We hear a lot of people, or if you're in church, you hear the word save all the time. That's one word we hear all the time is saved. You must be saved. You must be born again. You must be cleansed. Now listen, I want you to understand something. Unless this is by God, it's the only way this is possible. He is the only one that holds an ability to save you. He's the only one that holds an ability to make you right with himself. You have absolutely no ability to be right with God on your own. The only way a man, woman, boy, or girl will ever be right with the Lord is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Coming to church forever will not do it. Being baptized in every water hole that every tadpole in Cleveland County knows your name will not save you. The only thing that will save you is coming to Christ with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and crying out to him and saying, "God, please save me." I want you to think about it on this way. It says a drowning man is in a water, whatever water you want to think about, a lake or an ocean, and he begins looking around and it's vast, and he understands something, that he cannot swim, and then he begins going under, and as he begins going under, he starts crying for help, and as he begins crying for help, he sees a boat pull up, and all of a sudden the boat is a good ways from him, but they throw a life preserver out. And listen, at that point, that man realizes something, that he cannot swim, he's going to drown, he's going to die. The only chance he's got is getting a hold of that life preserver. That's where you stand this morning. And Jesus is the life preserver. And unless you reach out and grab him, you will not live. You will not live. Let me show you the ability that he has. The Bible tells in Hebrews 7:25, it says that he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save them to the uttermost. And you got to understand these words. Boy, they're very important. As I began looking out at the word uttermost, that thing has a great meaning. It means complete. It means it is complete. It is full ended. In other words, there is no part missing out of his salvation. He's able to save you now. He's able to save you 20 years from now. He's able to save you through eternity. That salvation is complete. It is not as man used to do. When man would come with a sacrifice, he'd present it on an altar. They would kill the thing there. The blood would be sprinkled for the sacrifice of sin. But listen, it would have to be done every single year. But when Jesus Christ came, he was a perfect sacrifice. He was a living sacrifice. He was sacrificed once for all. And because of that, your salvation in Jesus Christ is complete. There's nothing missing. There's nothing you need to add to it or nothing you can take away from it. All you can do is come and accept it and receive him. And at that point, you are saved to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Listen, it says, come unto God by him. How are you going to get to God unless you come through him? The Bible tells us there's no other door that you can go through. The Bible tells us there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Listen, if you're going to be with God for eternity, you must come to him through Jesus Christ. I want to preach that to you so hard today, I don't know how to preach it any harder, that if you're to be saved, it's simply and only through Jesus Christ. He's the only one with the ability, and you realize out of all of his creation, of all the suns and all the moons and everything they say is out there, I don't know if all this stuff's out there or not. They can make me believe probably what they want me to believe, but I know it's vast according to the scripture. But of everything he's created, his grandest creation is man. His grandest creation is man. Listen, he made nothing else in his image. Man was created in the image of God. You are created in a perfect image. You're created in an image that is absolutely holy, absolutely perfect. Listen, this creator, he desires you to be in his presence. He desires you to be with him. He wants to live with you eternally, but he cannot, because of his holiness, be around you because of your sin. You must have something done about the sin nature that you inherited from your father Adam. Bless God, you got no say in this thing. Just as I told you, I had no say that I was going to be a Morgan and I was going to be short and I was going to be good looking and all this stuff. Keith, I had no say in this stuff. It just happened to me. But listen, thank God I get a chance of salvation. I believe the Bible teaches that man must be drawn unto God. But at that point, we get an opportunity. We are given a free will to say yes or no. We're given a free will to receive him or reject him this morning. And listen, if you haven't received Christ, you know what you've done? You've rejected an offer from the Almighty God. You've rejected an offer from the only one who has an ability to make you right with God. You have told him that I do not want you. I want nothing to do with you. You said, wait a minute now, preacher. I have not done that thing. Hey, the Bible teaches you don't straddle the fence on this matter. He says those that are against me, he said you got them for me and you got them against me. You don't got nobody in the middle. So if you hadn't received him this morning, you are rejecting an offer from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've rejected the only way back to God. He said he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. You want to know what Jesus is doing right now? Listen to this ability he has. Listen, he lived on the earth a perfect life. He was crucified a terrible death. He was resurrected on the third day. We know the Bible teaches he was saw of over 500 brethren. At one time it says he ascended back to the Father. And that's where he is even today. He's on the right hand of God making intercession for me and you. You know what that means? What that word intercession means? It's the same thing that happens when you hire a lawyer. When you hire a lawyer. Because me and you don't know what to tell a judge. When we're standing in front of a judge, we don't know what to tell him. We don't know how the law terms. We don't know all these things. But listen, Jesus is standing there right beside the Father. And as our judgment comes away, he'll say, God, that one's mine. Father, I paid the price for that one. He's mine. My blood has already paid for that sin he just committed. Don't hold that to his account. Just go ahead and put it on mine. And the Bible says he lives forever to make intercession for me and you. Boy, that'll make us shout this morning, knowing that the reason I'm saved to the uttermost is because Jesus Christ is alive today. He makes intercession for me daily, and once I come to him, never ever again, according to the word of God, will I ever be lost. Boy, is that not great? Saved to the uttermost. That's an old redback hymnal about that, Pat. It says, saved to the uttermost, I know that I am. We'll have to sing that tonight, maybe. But he's able to save. Continually makes intercession. Listen, he takes our case to God On our, and listen, the payment he paid for you. Do you realize how special you are this morning? You may be here and you may think that there's nothing good about me, or I've got nothing to offer God. And listen, we don't have anything to offer God on our own. But let me show you how important you was to the Almighty, all-powerful, all-ability God. He loved you so much, and he wanted you so much to be with himself. He paid the ultimate payment with his son for you. Something just like you. It don't matter what you've done. I don't care how bad you are. You think you are. You've never done anything that God will not pay the price for you. He's already offered it. He's already paid it. So will you accept it this morning? Will you receive it? He's offering you a free gift, and he is able to save you to the uttermost. I've never been drowning. I've never been in a drowning situation. I have talked to people who have been in a drowning situation. You know what they'll say? I forever am in debt to that man who saved me. Forever, if I can do anything for you, I'm here. And listen, Christian, you need to understand something and how easily we forget what had been done for us. You was drowning in something called sin. You had no way to help yourself. You couldn't do anything, but by the awesome ability of God, he reached down and pulled you out of the miry clay and saved you, not just partly, not just sometime, not just today, not just tomorrow. He saved you to the uttermost, and you need to get that in your head. Saved you to the uttermost. Not only is he able and has the awesome ability to save, he is able to secure. Succor. This is a hard word because we don't say it much in our language. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. He talks about how he is able to relieve. This word secure. Secure means to relieve. He eases up the temptation. Boys, the temptation is real. Hey, we face it every single day of our lives. We are tempted with something. Unless you're more holy than me, all times of the day, a temptation comes. And you know what we can say? God, I just cannot stand it. I must give in. And boy, we'll give the old devil a little bit of credit too, won't we? We'll say the devil made me do it. The devil talked me into it. He made me do this thing. Oh, it's just him. Listen, you don't give him one ounce of credit. That rascal can't do anything unless he comes through God. And listen, God made a way for you to get out of temptation. You say, well, I just don't know how this is. Well, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 4:15, I'll try to show you. It says he can deliver you from any temptation as this. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You say, now how was Jesus tempted as I am? He's not lived in 2018. He's not lived out here with all the drugs and sex and alcohol and all these things we have today. How in the world was he tempted just as I am? The Bible teaches us that he was tempted by the lust of the flesh. By the lust of the flesh. The Satan used the same tactics on Jesus he used on me. You remember where when Jesus was there? He was led into the forest there and was tempted 40 days. He was fasted for 40 days, and he was tempted of Satan at that point, and it began tempting him with the lust of the flesh. Now, those types of desires that excite the flesh, those things that excite us, that gets us excited, that gets us away from God, of fleshly things. He showed them to Jesus, he showed them to you today. Listen, you have certain desires that get you excited. You can be honest with me, because we're all people. You have things that speak to your flesh that you enjoy, and boy, you know it's not good, but you tend to be drawn to this thing, and it's the exact same deal that happened to Jesus. Listen, now he was completely God, so yes, he could handle this temptation, but because he was made to handle it, because he knows how to handle it, and the Bible says he indwells us, the Spirit of God does, so he is able to deliver us from this. He's able to bring us out of this thing. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I believe that today. Won't you give it a try? Now, the next time you're tempted, won't you begin to pray? The next time you're tempted, why don't you understand that there is a way out of this thing? Every temptation that will ever come to you, I challenge you to search and find a way out. There's a way out. If it's on your TV, there's an off button. If it's in a can you got in your hand, you can pour that thing out and throw it across the field. If it's something you put in your veins or different things, throw that down and stomp it and do away with it. Or if it's on your phone, shut the thing up or turn the off button or turn the power off. Or there is a way out of every situation. So I've heard people say that's been caught up in affairs. Well, I just didn't have a way out of that affair. I was so drawn to this person. Listen, if you feel that drawing and you're attracted to that and you're married, and guess what happens? You need to get away from that situation. It may mean quitting a job. It may mean getting out of some place that you're involved with this person, but whatever it is, there is a way out. There's a way out. He promises that. He's able to relieve that temptation. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Oh, boy, this one's hard. The lust of the eyes talks about the treasures, possessions, and riches, and covetousness, and all the things our eyes see. And boy, is all this stuff of our world not made to entice us to these things? These people that are marketing managers, they are geniuses. They know exactly how to speak to me and you when it comes to items that we desire. You see a brand new pickup truck, and man, they make it look so pretty, and they make it sound so good. It's got the most powerful engine, and it does this better than last year's model, and it does all these things better, and our eyes begin seeing them. And the minute you get this one, guess what happens? All of a sudden, they come out with a newer model, and you never can have the best thing. You never will have the best of anything material. This thing continually goes, and it'll continually come. You cannot keep up with it. It'll come faster than you can stand it. But it's talking about the treasures and the possessions that our eyes see and they want to get. And that stuff is temptation. It gets us into trouble. It gets us away from the Lord. Listen, there's people here. There are people that should be here this morning, because, and they're not here because of some of these same sins. They're here because of some of the same temptation that Satan threw out there. I talked to one couple this morning. I talked to them, and they was going to see something. It wasn't of our church. It was other people. But I was talking to them. They said, we got to go see this property today. And listen, these people may have had yesterday. They may have had Friday. But they chose to go see this thing today. You know what that is? That ain't nothing but that old serpent showing us the same things that he showed Christ in that day. The lust of the eyes. You can have that. You remember what he showed Christ? He said, hey, come up here. Come here on this pinnacle. And he says he showed him everything that was down there. All this land, all the beautiful cities, and all the homes. He says, listen here. If you'll just follow me, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, I'll give you all of this. And what did he tell him? He said, the Bible says, you live by God and God alone. Listen, Jesus knew how to do it. I mean, you need to learn this. The next one he was tempted with was the pride of life. The pride of life. It says our flesh desiring to be glorified, be bragged upon, and lifted above others. Now, there's not a one of you in here today that does not like to be bragged upon. You said, oh no, that's not me. And guess what? You're a liar and you make the word of God a liar. We all desire this. We desire to hear we've done a good job. And listen, there's times we need to hear this. But if you're not careful, it will build you up to the point where you become no good. You become to a point where you think you're all they are and nothing else matters. You will put yourself above God even. And it happens to us. All of us. I began preaching to you. Nobody's going to ever be mean to you in the back of a church until you become a pastor, then they will. But when you first begin preaching, you're not going to hear anything mean. And you begin preaching, you begin doing the best you know how, you don't know. And one of the hardest things to do when you begin preaching is to close. That's one everybody struggles with, is learning how to close a sermon. And you'll be standing at the back, and this little grandma's will come out, and so she'll say, oh, honey, you've done such a good job. And then this other one will come out and say, oh, I believe you may be one of the best ones I've ever heard. And then they'll come out and say, oh, I believe you're doing a pretty good job. And you know what happens? You drive home, and you're going down the road, and you have to roll the windows down so your head will fit out the door. It's human. It's human. You begin getting built up. We desire it. The pride of life. We desire to be told how great we are. Listen, that's why you see places filled up with men who stand and tell everybody that you really don't have a problem. You just go ahead, enjoy this thing. It's 2018, and you have no problem. I had a very good friend of mine one time. He began attending this other church, and he told me, he said, never again will me and my wife attend a church that preaches condemnation. We will never again attend a church that preaches on sin. Well, bless your heart, you're not attending a church anyway. You're attending a country club, because the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners, and without Jesus Christ, we stand no hope, and even though we're saved to the uttermost, our flesh continues in sin, and we must be cleansed from it daily, and we must be showed our failures so we can get them right. I want somebody to preach the truth to me. The pride of life, he's able to relieve or succor those who come to him. Number three, he's able to subdue. This word means to put under. To put under. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. The word subdue means to put under. In other words, he is in control of everything. Everything on this earth, outside this earth, everything that ever will be, in the spiritual world, in the physical world, whatever you want to look at, every single thing is under the rule of God. He is over it all. He can put anything he wants to. He can do anything he wants to do. There's nothing that he cannot handle. He is able this morning. He's able to put everything under him. He can do anything he desires. He can control of life, death, and everything in between. How do you think this verse says that he can make a brand new body? Hey, well, the Bible teaches that we one day will have a body that will be like his. I don't know what it'll be like, but the scripture teaches that we will be like him. And he's able to do this thing. Now you think in your mind, well, I just don't understand how he's going to be able to do this. I don't know how he's going to do this thing. Listen, this man we're talking about, he's able to do anything he wants to do. And everything is under his control. He's over everything. He can do exactly as he sees fit. And he's going to make a glorified body. He's going to make a body. Listen to this. Boy, y'all will be shouting, y'all older people, this morning. He's going to make a body that does not decay. He's going to make one that does not wear out. He's going to make one that does not ever have a pain. Once you're in glory, no more pain, no more tears. None of that stuff. He's going to be able to do this. He is in complete control. Aren't you so glad this morning that not only is he able to save you and to relieve you of all the temptations, but this same God is when he comes back to get you, he's able to transform this old vile body into a glorified body that'll ever live with him. Listen, this thing right here, it cannot handle glory. This thing, this mind of mine cannot understand anything about the ways of God outside the scripture. So he had to make a new body like his that'll be able to handle eternity. He's making this thing perfect. Everything and everyone's under his authority. We think we can live and do as we please and that we're in control. Boy, do you not? You hear people say, what's your greatest fear? And a lot of people say losing control. I think my greatest fear is losing control. I can handle a little bit of sin, but I don't want to lose control. I can handle a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I just don't want to lose control. May I tell you something that you cannot control sin? It controls you. He tells in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 20, if we think we're in control, we're a fool. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he brought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Listen, this rich man thought he had this stuff figured out. He thought he was in control. He said, well, I got all this stuff left over. I tell you what I'll do. I'll just pull those barns down. I'll build bigger ones. I'm going to live my life in ease. Boy, I'm just going to have life made. I want to tell you something. You are not in control. God is in control. We're all under him. And you must come into under his authority or you're going to have a rough time. He is in control. He is completely able. Whatever you think about, he is able. I told you when we started this thing, he's able to do everything but lie. He cannot lie to you. He's promised you that he will ever be with you. He'll ever lead you. He'll ever guide you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you always to the end of the earth. And why this morning do we have so many people who will not, is just not going to trust him? Now, why do we have that? Why do we have people who will not call upon him to save them? Why do we have people that want to rely on their own ability instead of the ability of God? Now turn that, if you got your Bibles, turn there. Or you can read up top if you want to. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 31. This is going to be long, but we got to do it. I want you to see your inability of yourself. In yourself, you have absolutely no ability to please God. Listen to this. What advantage then hath a Jew? Or what profit is there circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some do not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified, thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No and no wise, for we've all been before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of the peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them, they're under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Wherefore is boasting then is excluded? By what law, of what works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith and without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Those 31 verses right there, you know what they just told you? You are a sinner. You are lost. You have no ability to save yourself. You have no righteousness in you. It said none is good, no, not one. There's not a single one of us in here that can come to God on our own merit. The only way you'll ever get to God is by his awesome ability of Jesus Christ. It's the only way you'll ever be made right with God. And listen, there's people that sit among us every day. There's people that we run into every day that think they have what it takes to reach God. They think what it has. You go to people and you say, do you know the Lord? And what they'll say, I hope so. Listen, this morning you can have more than a hope so. Bless God, you can have a know so. Because the Bible says that if a Jew or Gentile or circumcised or uncircumcised or anybody is to come to God, it's through Jesus Christ. I don't know how many more ways I can say it this morning. If you're in this building and you don't know him, you better come to him this morning, because he's the only way you'll get to God. Amen. The only way. You read chapter 3 again when you get home, and I want you to study it and think about it. Friend, in you there is nothing good. I don't want to hurt your self-esteem this morning, but I want you to see the truth. I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care who you are or what you are. Until you come to the knowledge that you are a sinner, and the only way you'll get out of this thing is Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You say, well, wait a minute now. I had a thought that I thought this, I thought that. And I told you last week, I've heard people say that I've got a deal made with God. Listen, unless this deal it lines up with that Hebrews that we read about him having the ability to bring you to God, then guess what? You don't have a deal with God. The only deal you have with God is he gave his son to die for you. You have to receive him to have eternal life. Unless you've done that, you have no deal with God. You stand in condemnation. You stand a lost sinner before a holy God. We want to preach about his love all the time. Boy, we hear people talk about his love and how they smile when they preach and they teach about the love of God. Have you ever thought about the wrath of God? Listen, the Bible teaches that God is a man of war. God is a man. He's not a sissy. God is a real man. God is a strong man. God is an all-powerful, all-in-control God. In one day, I don't know when it is, I don't know what hour or what minute, but I know this for certain, that one day every single person under the sound of my voice is going to stand and have to give an account for himself in front of a holy God. And I just read you the scripture that said you have no righteousness in you. You have nothing any good. You have absolutely no chance outside of Jesus Christ. You need to make that decision. But you must understand something. This is the way salvation works. God pricks your heart. God enlightens you. In other words, God lets you know you're a sinner. That is the drawing. That is the understanding. You got to come like that drowning man I was talking about at the first. You're in a lake, you're in a 20-foot water, and you're going under. And there's no hope you have of surviving outside of that piece of foam that's going to float you. Yet at that moment, you can decide whether you will reach and grab it, or you'll just go under. Now, unless there's something bad wrong with your mind, every single one of us is going to reach out and grab it. But people commit suicide, but I don't know if anybody can make themselves drown if they're able to swim. I don't know if that's possible. I can't imagine because I've been in the swimming pool before playing around, and when it comes time to come up, your body's coming up. Even if they say if you have to pass out, you will try to start back breathing. It's involuntary. Listen, church, there's people on the sound of our voices every week that walk out those doors and have never reached for that life preserver. Why? Why do they do this? It's because they're led to believe a lie. Well, when I can live it, I'll come. Or when I get older, I'll come. Or when I do this, I'll come. Or my husband comes, and I will come. Or when my wife comes, then I'll get serious about it. Or when this happens or that happens, we begin putting all these stipulations on it. And the bottom line is, not a one of us knows the last hour we have on this earth. Not a one. You may be in complete great health. You can still go just like that. You may be given a diagnosis of terminal cancer. Just went and visited a man Thursday night, was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 2002. He's still alive. Yes, he's getting in bad shape, but he's still alive. He's lived since then with one lung. Still alive. We had to go ask him. Had to. If everything was right between him and the Lord. We drove down there, eat supper with him, and then had to ask him. He said, oh yes, I've been forgiven. He had a question or two that he wasn't sure about. We tried to answer it the best we could, but I have confidence, and I don't know his heart, but I believe by his speech he knows the Lord, and I believe he's ready. I heard a guy right preaching. I'm fixing to close. Heard a guy that went to preach at a place where there was going to be a bunch of prisoners. He said he done like he always do. This man was an evangelist. He said he had a message, a set number of messages prepared that he preached throughout the country. These big evangelists, they do that because they stay so busy, they have to have something on hand. But he said the guy led him to this place before he was to preach and showed him where he'd be preaching at. And he said there was four chairs set outside in the front. He said he asked the man, he said, what are these four chairs for that's on the very front? He said, well, these four chairs is where the ones that are on death row is going to sit tonight when you preach. They're going to have a front row seat. And your message will be the last one they ever hear. He said he had to go back to the room. He got on his knees and he began to pray. God, I don't want my message. God, I want your message. Give me the message that will prick the hearts of those men. I don't know what they've done. I don't care what they've done. They stand in need of a Savior. And my message will be the last one they ever hear preached. God asks you to touch it. I don't remember the outcome of it. But that's how we are this morning. We're all on death row. We're all going to go. It may not be today. I hope it ain't. Hope it's not tomorrow. Hope we all get a long life. But it's possible. Keith, I tell you, they see all ages. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand that what's separating you from eternity is one breath. One breath is separating you from eternity. And this morning you get a choice. If the Spirit of God has drawn you and showed you a sinner, you get an opportunity this morning to decide where you will spend eternity. How wonderful is that? You get a say in this thing once God draws you. The Bible tells us it's not man that ever seeks after God. So if you realize you need to seek after God, guess what? That is God drawing you. It's not human nature to want to seek God. He seeks us. As our singers come forth, our pianists this morning, Miss Peggy ain't here, but everyone would please stand. I want you to understand this morning that you and yourself, you are not able. You don't have the ability to save. You don't have the ability to avoid temptation. You don't have the ability to put everything under your foot as God does. God, listen, everything that happens in your day, if you belong to God, has to go through Him. It has to.
this Bible. He done all this to save you, to secure you, to settle you, and to bring you to Himself. Will you come this morning? Listen, there's nothing I can say anymore. The Word of God has to do the talking. The Bible teaches outside of the Word of God, nobody will be saved. It's only by that Word are we drawn. If God has spoken to you this morning, will you give your heart to Him? Will you call upon Him and ask Him and beg Him to save you and to drag you up out of that drowning sin you're in and to bring you up into life eternal? If you go to hell, you will go on your own making. I believe He gives every single person an opportunity to accept or to reject. We're given a free will. I will leave you with this morning. He is able. He's able. If He's able to save you, He's able to keep you. So you come at this time.